BMW faces a multi-million dollar fine and a criminal investigation in South Korea over engine fires. And this Christmas, businesses are taking steps to help reduce food waste. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivian Nunes, standing in for Anu Anand. Good morning. South Korea's government is fining German carmaker BMW $10 million after dozens of its engines caught fire. State prosecutors are also weighing up criminal charges against the firm. The BBC's Faria Masood reports.
BMW is facing a criminal investigation in South Korea for allegedly trying to hide faulty parts and delaying recalls of its vehicles. The team that has been investigating BMW since August found defects in the cars that could cause coolant to leak and set fire to the engine. There have been 40 cases of BMW engine fires in South Korea this year. And worldwide, the carmaker has recalled 1.6 million vehicles over the issue. BMW's Korea branch has apologised and said it will cooperate with ongoing investigations. The company said it is trying to complete the recall in South Korea as quickly as possible. BMW was the second most popular brand of imported cars into South Korea last year.
Faria Masood. Let's do the numbers. The US government is expected to remain partially shut down until after Christmas, but US stock futures are rising after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin took steps to reassure investors. He's denied reports that President Trump is looking to oust Federal Reserve Chief Jay Powell and said he called senior executives at the six largest US banks to ensure they have ample liquidity in the system. European shares are lower, but trading activity remains thin as the London markets are open for just half a day, while others in Frankfurt and Milan are closed. China plans to remove import and export tariffs on a range of goods next year, including products used in animal feed and iron ore. But what spurred the move? The BBC's Leisha Santarelli reports.
China's economy is forecast to slow even further next year, and its trade war with the US is a big contributing factor. Beijing has until March to try and reduce those tensions with Washington and to restart trade talks before President Trump follows through with his threat of even more tariffs. On Monday, Beijing announced it will reduce or remove import and export duties on more than 700 products. This includes pharmaceutical goods, printers, fertilizers, iron ore, wood pulp, and ingredients for animal feed. The move is intended to help open up China's economy and maintain food security, but the tariff cuts may also be seen as an act of goodwill. China's lead trade negotiator, Liu He, is set to lead a large team to Washington next month to try and bring an end to the acrimony over trade.
Leisha Santarelli. If you're preparing for a festive feast this Christmas, here's something to keep in mind. At least a third of all the food we produce goes to waste. In the developed world, most of that waste happens in the home. But big supermarket chains are under pressure to make sure their unsold food goes to people in need, rather than be buried in the ground, fed to farm animals, or even used as fuel for power stations. The BBC's Mike Johnson has this report.
You want a hand there, Joyce?
That's a van being loaded up for the day, filled with fresh fruits and vegetables.
Floor to ceiling. Laura Winningham is a former Wall Street trader. She now does a very different trade, running a London charity called City Harvest. Her team collects surplus food from shops and restaurants and distributes it to the kitchens of charities which help the hungry. She brought the idea to London after hearing about the success of a similar scheme in her native New York.
We get food from almost every major retailer. We get from restaurants, we get from markets like Whole Foods markets, film shoots, photo shoots. A lot of the food is over-ordered. Some of the fruit and veg might be a shape that the average consumer doesn't want, but perfectly edible.
Well, the tills are ringing away, or at least beeping away, here in a grocery megastore operated by Tesco, by some way Britain's biggest food retailer. I'm standing in the fresh fruit and vegetable section, and it is pretty big, I have to say. With me is Tesco's head of food waste reduction, Mark Little. Do you think very large food stores like this one present a bigger challenge in terms of reducing waste?
Well, I think it's true that in smaller stores, because you have a slightly higher rate of sales, we typically see slightly lower wastage rates in smaller stores.
Last year, in its UK operations alone, Tesco failed to sell almost 39,000 tonnes of food fit for human consumption. Most of it ended up fueling renewable energy plants. Just 8,000 tonnes went to charities feeding the hungry.
Why is it difficult to send more surplus food to charities, say, so that people can eat it?
One of the challenges we have is the number of charities. There isn't always a charity available to collect food from stores every day of the week. And charities vary a lot as well in terms of the amount of food that they can take, but also the type of food that they can take as well.
Back at the charity City Harvest, as another van sets off to deliver unwanted fresh food to Londoners in need, Chief Executive Laura Winningham is hungry for change.
In some countries, like the UK, it's cheaper not to send the food to people in need. In the UK, the government subsidises sending food to anaerobic digestion, which turns it into energy. This is outrageous when there are 700,000 children in London that face hunger. It really is infuriating that there's subsidies encouraging food to go to waste.
Laura Winningham ending that report by Mike Johnson. And finally, it's a Christmas favourite, and today the Austrian village of Oberndorf is marking 200 years since Silent Night was first performed there. On Christmas Eve 1818, the now familiar carol was played on a guitar after the church's organ was damaged by mice. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.